these couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. And this week, we've got some big movies coming out this week. I don't know if you've heard of this Julie and Julia movie.
It's pretty big. Awesome. Well, if you're going to see it, you got to see Transformers first, because there's a lot of pretext
right
in Transformers.
It's like the sequel to Transformers.
Oh, and we've also got
the sequel to something else, A Perfect Getaway, which isn't really a sequel.
There's no other sequels. There's only sequels to bad jokes from Neil Miller.
Right. So we've also got A Perfect Getaway, in which we will take you to a desert island and attempt to kill you.
It's not a desert island. It's a jungle island.
A jungle island.
It's Hawaii.
In Hawaii.
Actually Puerto Rico.
Okay. And we're also going to review G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra.
Well, one of us is.
One of us is going to review it. Well, we're not going to spoil who it is. Anyway.
Let's do it.
Before we get to that, here's how you can get a hold of us. You can go over to fatguysatthemovies.com. You can get us on iTunes. Just go to the iTunes store and search Fat Guys at the Movies, and we should come right up. You can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, or leave us a voicemail, area code 614-388-8735. You can also get us on Twitter now.
Yes.
Isn't that fun? You can get me on Twitter at twitter.com/rejects. R-E-J-E-C-T-S.
Okay, good, you know how to pronounce that and spell that. You can get me on Twitter at twitter.com/Kevin Carr. And I welcome everybody on Twitter. I don't care if you're a multi-level marketing spammer. Great. Just follow me. That's awesome. Because I've got like 2,999,000, like 700 more to go to get to the level of like Ashton Kutcher. So spam is cool.
Who you talk to? Didn't you just interview Ashton Kutcher?
I did interview Ashton Kutcher this week for his movie Spread. We're going to play clips next week, though.
That's when it
comes out nationwide, and we'll talk a little bit about that. And there'll be some coverage on Film School Rejects. So
nice.
But yeah, Ashton was a nice guy. He was game. He got game.
Fair enough. Did you punk him?
I did not punk him. Although I think he thought he was being punked, because he's like, "You're not a real journalist." No, he didn't say that. But
why does everyone think they're being punked when Kevin Carr starts interviewing them? You're not a real journalist. No, actually, I'm not. Anyway, moving on. Let's talk about this first movie. I'm really excited about it, even though I have not actually seen it.
I'm not surprised. But you have seen it. What's funny is...
No, there's a screening. We're recording too early this week.
There's a screening.
Trust me, my lady friend wants to see this movie.
Really?
Yeah, no, she's really into The Kitchen or whatever.
I thought she was really into just like more harder stuff, more edgier things.
No, she's into edgy stuff, but apparently she's got a real thing for Julia Child. So.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Let's talk about this movie now. That's my Julia Child.
Are you
going to
do your whole review as Julia Child?
Can we do the whole show as Julia Child? Oh, no. Welcome. Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. Bah, I'm Julia Child.
Wow. The movie we're talking about is Julie and Julia.
What's it about?
Aliens in South Africa are evicted from their slums in a heinous government crackdown, alongside the biography of Julia Child.
I could write a blog. I have thoughts.
Write a blog about cooking.
I'm not a real cook like Julia Child.
Julia Child wasn't always Julia Child.
Why don't I go to cooking school?
Bonjour!
The Julie/Julia Project. I cook my way through Julia Child's cookbook. 365 days, 524 recipes. I am risking my well-being for a deranged assignment.
Is it crazy?
Yes.
I don't think that's right, dude.
That's not what it is. I think I got show notes mixed up for next week. That's the District 9 movie. There is no Julia Child in this movie. It's just about aliens. Aliens cooking in the kitchen. Making cat food.
Anyway,
omelets.
Hold on. I'm getting the real synopsis for this, since Kevin Carr is not taking his job seriously this
week. It's about a woman named Julie Powell who decides one day to cook every recipe in Julia Child's cookbook over the course of a year, and it's her creating a blog for it. And then it also flashes into the... It's like kind of two stories put together. It's her story, and then it's the story of Julia Child developing the cookbook when she was in France.
Oh, I see.
Do you know anything about Julia Child? Obviously, you haven't seen the movie.
I've seen her kitchen.
Oh, you went to the Smithsonian?
I was at the Smithsonian in D.C., and I saw her... they still have it. I don't know how they got it out of her house. Yeah. It's kind of big, but
they have a scene in the movie about her kitchen.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
Well, I mean, her kitchen was a big deal. She had everything like placed correctly and stuff.
Wow.
It was very well organized, and she had theories about stuff. I guess if you read the book about her, you'd know what the heck I'm talking about.
Yeah, most people know her, are familiar. Don't. Most people are familiar with her from her television show. She used to do, well, she's dead now, but I mean, she used to do a cooking show and everything.
Right.
Like long before Emeril and the Naked Chef and Alton Brown and Rachel Ray. Although Rachel Ray's way hotter than she is or ever was.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, about the movie, this is not my cup of tea. I'm just going to go out there and say it right there. I went to the screening. I did not fall asleep. Kristen Dreyer Kramer from nightandweekends.com accused me of it. And I told her, no, I was asleep through every, I was awake through every excruciating minute of that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I was squirming. I literally almost walked out just to like send out a tweet that says, help, I'm stuck in a movie and I can't escape, and come back in. I was that bored with the film.
Would you tweet if you fell down and couldn't get up?
If I had my phone next to me.
Would you be like, help, I've fallen and I can't get up on Twitter?
And I would spell arg.
Do you think any one of your several hundred followers would actually come get you?
Yeah, I got fans out there. They love me.
I don't know if they know where you live. Maybe they do. Who knows?
Like this Russian prostitute. Apparently she's a fan. Or she just friended me.
She thinks that you're an easy target. You're an easy mark for her. She's like, oh, fat man. Fat celebrity.
Fat pseudo-celebrity. Well, no, there's another guy who was a friend of mine on Twitter who basically said, he's like, yeah, he tweeted out something about I'm traveling this weekend. And mm-hmm. suddenly, like, escorts start friending him, which I thought was hilarious.
Nice.
And I'm like,
I need to have fake travel more.
Yeah, because my tweet to him was, when the problem with this is, ... You know, hey. Anyways, okay. Julie and Julia, my mom's going to love this movie. That's all there is to it. My
right.
mother is just, no pun intended, going to eat this movie up. And if you're that kind of a person, if you love Julia Child, and it's also directed by Nora Ephron, who I just don't like as a director. I think she's a brilliant writer, but I think she's real flat as a director. I think it's sort of passionless, her as a director.
But I see.
Some people just love her, and that's great. But I'm not one of those people. It's a very well-made movie. It's a well-acted mm-hmm. movie. It's interesting for the people who want to see it. And Meryl Streep does Julia Child, and she does a fantastic Julia Child. But it's, in a way, it's kind of like watching Capote, where Philip Seymour Hoffman does a great Capote, but Capote was so flamboyant and ridiculous that
right.
it sounds like he's doing a caricature. It's almost like it's watching a Saturday Night Live sketch, even though it's very accurate. So
I gotcha.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Yeah. So
did you,
so
I mean,
me,
did it make you hungry, though?
You know what's funny? I had poached an egg that morning, and they have a whole scene about poaching an egg. But the thing is, I'm not into French cooking. I mean, this is way too hard. Give me stuff I can throw into a crock pot and cook all day. That's
or do a deep fryer and fry with batter and butter and
I made
batter
fried chicken the other night. It was awesome.
That sounds gross, but awesome.
Yeah. Oh, it is awesome. It's awesome.
All right. What are you giving this as a grade?
For me it's a totally sucks, but I think for the people who want to see it and you know who you are, it's gonna rock.
All right, fair enough. When we come back, more movies and stuff.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We are doing a new movie this week that I haven't seen, and Neil has seen.
We're doing a new movie?
This is a terrible intro. I'm so used to you.
We got two more movies to talk about this week.
Yeah, but to sum it up, we're going to talk about more movies.
Yeah, no, and we'll start with one that we've both seen.
Yes. You want to lead this in, or do you want me
to?
This is the one that we're going to have the smackdown on this.
Yeah,
one.
No, this is smackdown time. Ready? Ding, 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 ding. Anyway,
ding, ding,
it's
ding.
Called The Perfect Getaway. It's about a couple honeymooning in Hawaii who think that the people they meet on a hiking trail might be ruthless killers.
Dun, dun, dun.
So, what were you, SEALs, Rangers?
I'm a damn American Jedi.
That's some toothpaste.
The further we go, the fewer people on the trail.
You know what I heard? People die out here every year.
knows, Al? Could be the wages of sin.
What are they looking for?
They found two bodies on the beach. Authorities are searching for a man and a woman. What do you think?
All right, so you saw this movie. I saw this movie.
I did.
I want to give you first crack at it so
sad.
Then I can...
I feel like I wasted a lot of my own time seeing this movie.
Wow, you want your money back and you saw it for free.
Exactly. It's one of those types. This movie is aggressively awful.
Really?
In the sense that, well, I mean, it had me for about half the movie. I was thinking, you know what? This is not good, but it could get really good. If it's, you know, I mean, it could get really good, even though the twist, which is what the marketing seems to be relying on, is telegraphed from the beginning. It's the most obvious thing possible. But that, you know, even with that said, it still could have been a good movie in my mind until it hit this kind of second half wall where the twist was revealed and then the action started. Okay. And I feel like the two things are
happening. There are no robots in this movie.
There are
no
robots. No. Two things are happening in this movie. First of all, David Tui, who wrote and directed, he also did The Chronicles of Riddick, is just way too into himself and how awesome it is to be a screenwriter. About how it's like he spends the entire movie talking about being a, you know, he spends the entire movie with one character talking about being a screenwriter, and they spend too much. That's crap. No, that's
Wait a minute. You think it's hack work for a director to be totally into himself and how awesome he is, yet you love Michael Bay?
Yeah, no, exactly.
I blew your hole in your theory.
Second of all, I believe that this was probably a decent movie when they shot it, but it's edited so poorly together.
Really?
That it almost doesn't... I mean, it makes sense because it's so surface level, but it, like, there's this shot where one character is chasing another one through the woods, and they, like, go into this panel mode of editing that starts to look like this weird...
24.
...music video. That's literally what I said when it came out of the screen. I was like, that, why? What purpose does that serve? This is not primetime television. Like, this is a movie. Act like a movie. Be an adult. Make a solid movie. And
like
don't telegraph your twists from the beginning. Like, it was just... the only thing I liked about this movie, the only thing I really liked about this movie, was Timothy Oliphant's performance. Because that dude's creepy, but he's also fun, and he's also very awesome, and he's a highly underrated actor. I mean, Steve Zahn was funny, but then when it came time for Steve Zahn to do stuff that wasn't funny, he was still kind of funny. I still laughed at him. Mila Jovovich needs to play a genetically designed creature. Like Resident Evil. Like, that's the only role she can play in my mind.
See, I think Steve Zahn needs to do Hamlet. So it'd be like, to be or not to be, man.
Yeah, awesome. And then, I just think it really, the action just doesn't live up, like, it's not a movie that, like, pays you back, you know, like, you sit through two-thirds of the movie, and it's really kind of drawn out, and boring, and slow, and you expect the action at the end to really pay you back, and hit you, and it doesn't, you know,
See,
and the twist is just awful, and there's this whole, like, the movie goes through this thing I call the blue period, where it goes to like this black and white blue tinted series of exposition.
That's just awful. Yeah.
It's way too long. It's way unnecessary. It's like stamped right in the middle of the movie where it doesn't need to be.
Wow, you hate this movie.
Oh, God. It was a bad movie.
All right, I'm going to bring it back to
Go ahead
normalcy.
And see what you can do with this one, Carr.
I will completely admit there are some serious flaws. The blue period's wacky and weird, and I thought that made no sense in parts of it, and it is very predictable. Like, and I made a comment to another writer from Film School Rejects through Twitter, and I said I knew it was going 25 minutes because when I sat there was a point where I'm like, okay, this is exactly what's going to happen. It wasn't just I figured out the twist; I knew exactly how everything fit together. And it was like, I looked at my clock and it was 25 minutes in. So I'm like, at 25 minutes, I knew how everything was going to play out. Like, even the little twists. And, but that was okay because I do that sometimes in movies. I see so many movies you can pick up on that sort of thing. And I thought it was paced okay. There are some flaws in the movie and there are some cheats in the writing. But like the whole sort of like, introspective part of the screenwriter, I thought that was really funny. I thought it was somewhat clever. Because the whole point is they're talking about screenplays and how to write a screenplay, and they're basically describing what's happening what they're doing when they're when it's happening, which I thought was funny. I mean, I thought that was interesting. It's not a horror movie, though. They're billing it as a horror movie. It's not really a horror movie. It's more of a thriller.
It tries thriller to be a thriller
slash action. And I thought, it didn't bother me. The action at the end didn't bother me. Yeah, it was a little bit, it got a little bit weird with the editing, but I thought it was okay. I mean, it wasn't great, but I didn't consider it a waste of my
time. It wasn't even good.
It was good. I thought it was okay.
It wasn't good. It totally sucks.
It was enjoyable. I literally went out of my way to see this movie, and I didn't feel like I was ripped off.
You were. So, you just don't know it.
Whatever.
It totally sucks. Let's move on to this next movie.
Let's talk about this next movie that has to suck just because of the way it is. You want to introduce?
Yeah, it's G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra. An elite team of soldiers are called in to do something which only one of us has seen. That's a very funny description, Kevin.
We have never faced a threat like this. A team is being assembled. They're the best operatives in the world. When all else fails, we don't.
Standing in front of you, a Delta 6 accelerator suit.
What does it accelerate?
You.
This is General Hawk. Mission is a go.
Anyway, so I got to see G.I. Joe. I was one of the lucky five film critics in the world who got to see it because, I don't know,
because you were one of the lucky five critics that actually gave Transformers 2 a good rating.
Yeah, that might be true. I didn't actually review Transformers 2.
Yeah, but you completely just gushed over it.
I liked
in every,
it. Let's set up my review.
I remember your tweets were it was total awesomeness in your face.
On the context of Transformers 2, allow me to explain how I feel about G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra.
Because according to Paramount, the reviews of Transformers 2 are the reason they didn't screen G.I. Joe's. Explicitly the reason.
Okay, yeah, fair
that's
enough.
That's what they said. What
that's
do you mean, fair enough. That's
whatever.
What they said.
That's what they said. So that's exactly what it, you know, whatever. So there you go. G.I. Joe is a better film. I'm seeing. Looking back on it, it is a better film, and here's why. It doesn't have the pacing issues that Transformers had. Transformers would have been a lot more fun for a lot more people had it been faster. Shorter, but faster.
45 minutes shorter.
Well, no, I mean, I saw another science fiction movie that comes out next week that is almost as long as Transformers that feels way faster. Like, it's just, it's ill-paced.
District 9's a half hour shorter than Transformers, I hate to tell you.
Close enough.
Not close enough.
Get off me. We're talking about G.I. Joe here. Fine. The point is, the pacing is great. The action is silly, but it's very cool. And I think a lot of people didn't like those accelerator suits in the trailer, but let me tell you, those are the most badass things in this whole movie. They're designed by Stan Winston Studios. They very specifically serve one purpose, to look really freaking cool. They don't transform, sadly. But the action is really, really well shot, really well paced. This movie shows its cards in the beginning. It says, this is a silly movie with laser guns and stupid stuff that like only 10-year-olds are going to like.
And Channing Tatum.
And then
how was he? Was he
okay.
Awful?
I mean, it's weak old cheese every time for Channing Tatum. You know, it's the most bland performance possible. But you know what? Overall, this cast is really solid. You know, Marlon Wayans actually steals the whole movie. Like,
he's
a
good actor,
he's a
though.
Solid actor. Yeah. So, I mean, the movie's silly, but you have to look at it like this. I look at the movie like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. When I saw it when I was 10, I thought it was awesome. Like, the greatest movie I'd ever seen. Seeing it now, not exactly the same reaction. I still love it, but I look at it and I'm like, it's not that great of a movie. It was just a lot of fun when I was 10. G.I. Joe is going to be that movie for 10-year-olds now. You know, it's not that movie for 25-year-olds now because we're expecting something big and dark and, you know, we're expecting Iron Man. It's not Iron Man. It's more goofy like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles back
in the
80s.
Iron Man was kind of goofy. Iron Man was kind of goofy.
I mean, it's sillier.
Your argument is flawed, Neil Miller. It sucks. It's a preemptive suck because they didn't show it to anybody.
No, it's a rocks. I liked it. I say take the family. Your kids are going to love this movie, Kevin.
You're a whore.
No.
miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh, yeah.
And we're back here on Fat Guys at the Movies. And just to wrap up our little G.I. Joe chat from the previous segment, I was saying that this is a movie you take the kids to. If you have young boys like Kevin Carr, you take your kids. They're going to eat this up. I think the whole family will enjoy it to a certain extent. It's
well, quick. You might want to send mom to see Julie and Julia.
No, actually, it's funny because I took my lady, Bethany, to see G.I. Joe with me. And she said that there's a few lines that get in there that like moms will laugh at.
Okay.
They're kind of funny mom moments, I guess. Not really mom moments, but they're funny to the female audience.
Okay.
So, I think really take the kids out. I think that's going to be the key, is it's not the demographic that normally would like this, like a big action movie, stuff like that. Like it's not me. It's not a 25-year-old. Male demographic that's going to make this movie. It's the family audience, and I think the family audience is A, going to like this movie, and B, they're gonna pay the money. They're gonna go out and see it. And I think it'll do pretty well at the box office.
What a great segue! Amazing.
Funny People.
Should we talk about box office now?
Let's talk about box office.
Do you want to talk about this week's box? You want me to smack you down from Funny People, or do you want to talk?
Let's talk about Funny People, because I think there's an interesting correlation to be made between. I don't know. I mean,
the fact that I was absolutely and totally right last
week. Here's the thing. Here, looking back on it, yeah, you were right. Kevin Carr was right.
Yay. I was totally right. Yeah.
Because the problem is, let me
just review how I was right. You were saying, because some people were predicting 30 to 40 million for this movie, and I'm like, yeah, it's going to be lucky to get 25. And it came in at originally it was 23 and change, but now it's 22 and change for the weekend because the actuals just didn't clear up.
Right.
So,
well, and here's the deal. Movies that aren't what they say they are in a not necessarily better way. Like, there's a movie coming out next week that looks like an action movie, smells like an action movie, and is a lot more in a good way.
Bandslam.
But Funny People... Yeah, Bandslam. Funny People is that movie that looks like a comedy and is... To a certain extent.
No, it's not a comedy. It's a drama with funny
people.
It's not a comedy.
It's a drama with funny people in it. So,
but I think you could get that from the trailers, though. I think it was very clear. You're like, hey, it's about cancer. You know?
You can, but I think what a lot of people see is they see who's involved. So it's a movie with Adam Sandler, Seth Rogen, Judd Apatow. They expected it to be funny, and it didn't necessarily play that way. And all the reviews, if people listen to critics, which is, you know, debatable... but I think they do. The reviews were saying, well, it's not a comedy. So people are like, wait, why am I going to go see a Judd Apatow movie that's not funny?
Well, and here's where it is. This is where Hollywood.
But it's also called Funny People.
The studios are very narrowly focused. They it can be one thing or the other, and they can't mix things up. The reality is, yes, the critics, I think the reviews did hurt Funny People, because what it did is the reviews were like, this is what the movie is. And people are like, oh, I thought it was something else. Whereas, like, Transformers, the bad reviews didn't hurt Transformers because people are like, yeah, it was a stupid movie with bad dialogue, bad character, but really awesome robots blowing things up. And people are like, oh, that's exactly what I expected to be, and it's going to be awesome. And so when you have a movie and you're marketing it as something it's not, and then the critics come out and say, well, not even whether they say it's good or bad, because Funny People got great reviews. Well, good reviews, not great reviews. But people look at it and say, "Oh, it's not what I thought it was." So I don't want to see a drama about cancer. I want to see a comedy about, you know, comedians. That's where it hurts it. When a movie is not what it's being marketed, that's when advanced reviews can hurt it, because the reality is revealed, and that's happened in stuff. Or the only other time it really hurts it reviews is when it gets bad reviews and it really should get good reviews, like some Oscar pick.
Right.
So. But no, I think, did you hear the rumor about somebody had suggested that Universal begged Judd Apatow to cut down the last half with Leslie Mann? Did you hear about that?
I'd heard that. Yeah. And thinking about it now, it's like, it could have been schmaltzier. Like, that's all the movie would have been. It would have been schmaltzier.
Yeah.
Like, it would have been groan-worthy. Like, oh, really?
Yeah.
You know, I think the movie overall was a good movie. It was a good, I mean...
It was too long. It really could
have... It was just too long. It wasn't what people were expecting. It, and you know what? It's just, that's why it didn't do well. Okay. I mean, it's pretty simple. If you can't explain a movie very simply, it's hard to sell it to mainstream America. Okay. You know, take Watchmen. And Funny People is the same thing. It's like, it's a drama about funny people by Judd Apatow. That's really hard to swallow.
Yeah, so. And you're right about Watchmen because the people who hadn't read the book were like, oh, it's a superhero movie. And you're like, it's really a drama.
That's not exactly what it was. Yeah, it's a heavy exactly. drama. Yeah. So, but then we turn to this weekend, a few movies that are very easy to explain.
Yes.
G.I. Joe. Fun, silly action movie for 10-year-olds.
I think it's going to win the weekend, but I don't think it's going to be. I think it'll
make 30.
Yeah, it's not going to be. It's not going to do great. The budget's reported at $170 million. There's no way they're going to make any of that back. Yeah, you know?
I think internationally, it's going to do well because G.I. Joe isn't just an American property.
True.
I think it'll do okay internationally. Although Steven Sommers movies do well internationally. The Mummy movies all did well internationally.
What about Van Helsing? Did Van Helsing do well?
Van Helsing didn't do well anywhere.
I like Van Helsing. That's why they should have showed it to me. I am on record for liking Van Helsing.
You're still just mad that they didn't give you a screening.
I am.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Kevin. I would have taken you with me to mine if you lived in Austin.
And if I looked like your girlfriend.
If you look like my girlfriend.
Yeah, but I don't.
But, you know, I think G.I. Joe is going to have... It's going to be good. It's going to have little legs. You know, I mean, Steven Sommers does not have problems making money with his films.
Yeah. Well, he spends a lot of money.
I mean, even The Mummy. The Mummy opened to $43 million, made $155.
Yeah.
You know, Paramount is marketing the crap out of this movie.
Yeah, but
I think G.I. Joe is going to do well. I think 30, maybe 40... I think it's going to make money.
I do think though that the choice to not screen has hurt it a little bit simply because I know a lot of people that are like,
has it really?
I think so.
It's just drawn more attention to it because now everybody's writing the why didn't G.I. Joe screen this? Why didn't they screen G.I. Joe for us?
Well, yeah, but
and now everybody's just going to go see it because they're curious.
Well, no, but if
why wouldn't they
no,
show this?
No,
movie
no, I don't think that people
it's
are going
to. It's not like the
no,
Saw movies.
No, no, I don't think people are not seeing. I don't think people are going to be like, they didn't screen it for critics. I better go see what this is about. I think there's a lot of people are like going, oh, there's probably something wrong with it. I'm not going to go see it on opening weekend. Maybe I'll wait till video, that sort of thing. I think that hurts movies. Now, Saw doesn't hurt movies there because no one expects them to screen a Saw movie anymore. But G.I. Joe is exactly the kind of movie you expect to get screened, and it's getting a lot of bad press for not doing that. And I go on the radio around the country, and people are like, oh, they didn't screen it. There must be a problem. I don't think it's going to have a huge impact. I don't think it's going to have a huge impact either way. I don't think withholding the screenings is going to make it much more money. And if anything, I think it's going to soften the box office a little bit. But
right.
We're
talking a little bit, maybe $1 million.
The 30s. I mean, I think it's in the 30s and that's it. I really don't think it's going to be a huge hit. It's very rare for a movie to open in August and make much more than $100 million. That's just the bottom line.
Right.
So... There you go.
Sure.
So let's go to the... We got a Fat Guy 5 we can burn through real quick.
Oh, my God. Fat Guy 5.
Oh, my Whoa. God.
You started talking about G.I. Joe and stuff, and I was like, saw it.
Whatever.
I'm over it. As of today, I'm over it, man. I saw District 9. I'm over G.I. Joe. G.I. Joe was fun.
I'm gonna
Take
call
your kids
you,
to go see it. It's great.
I'm calling your girlfriend, and she's going to put your hand in warm water while you're sleeping one day.
Why?
So you can pee yourself.
Okay. Yeah. I guess
she's into that.
That's mean, dude.
It is.
I know she'd go along with it, but that's kind of mean.
She'd laugh. She would totally laugh.
Yeah. All right, Fat Guy 5 time. Now this is in honor of G.I. Joe and the way I feel about G.I. Joe. Mm-hmm. 5 flawed films we forgive because we saw them when we were kids.
Because you saw G.I. Joe when you were a kid?
No, like I think kids today will forgive G.I. Joe later in life. Like, 20 years from now, looking back on G.I. Joe, they're going to be like, well, that movie's not that great, but I still love it.
Like the way they forgive Transformers.
Like the way they will forgive Transformers, yes.
Okay, let's start. I'm going to start with my two, just because I'm greedy. The first two is Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. I saw when I was like 12. And it was awesome. It was made exactly for a 12-year-old. I watch it today, and I'm like, yeah, there's some problems with it. But it's still fun. It was a big event summer movie in 1984 or whatever that was. And similarly, the year before that, Return of the Jedi came out. And as like an 11-year-old seeing Return of the Jedi, it was my favorite Star Wars movie. Now as an adult, I look back and I go, yeah, Empire's way superior. But yeah, and the Ewoks are stupid and they have some corny lines. But you know what? Still, Return of the Jedi, that was awesomeness in my childhood.
Yeah, fair enough. The first one I have is one that I think a lot of people forgive because they saw it and they loved it when they were kids, especially like post-Star Wars era. Mm-hmm. And it comes out on Blu-ray, oddly enough, the 18th of this month, The Last Starfighter.
Awesome movie.
And when you look back at The Last Starfighter, the CG, the computer graphics
are terrible.
Awful. Just terrible. The acting's not that great. It's overall, it's just not a very good movie. But you know what? When you saw it back when it came out, it was awesome. And there's always going to be that place in your heart for it.
I got it on DVD, on Blu-ray. I'm going to show it to my kids this weekend, along with the all
exactly.
four.
Your kids are going to love it, too.
We're having an orgy of movie watching this weekend because we got
that's
Last
really
Starfire
gross, Kevin.
And all four Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movies on the box
set.
Oh,
awesome.
We get that. Nice. We're watching that this weekend.
Next up, another movie that I personally forgive is Tron.
Yes.
Because Tron, by all means, is not a good movie at all.
It's not
even close.
Yeah, it makes no
sense.
It's
a pretty horrible movie, but since I saw it when I was little, and I thought it was the coolest thing ever when I saw it, it still holds, you know, near and dear. So, which is why I'm one of the few people excited for the sequel.
Oh, I can't wait to see the sequel. I'm going to try and get on that junket. That's all there is to it.
Nate, there you go, man. You do what you got to do.
Let me say something about Last Starfighter and Tron real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
The Last Starfighter... I was a teenager when that came out, and in video arcades were huge. And here's the thing with everybody went to video arcades then after that, just wanting to be picked up by aliens to fight in their war, because it totally lived in that culture. And also Tron, same thing. I was a child. It was what, 82 or something like that. I don't even think you were born. And when Tron came out. Sorry, we have a dog going crazy here in Fat Guys at the Movies headquarters. but Tron, what's so great about Tron is it was a brilliantly looking film, and it was an event movie, and it was the very first sort of big computer-generated extravaganza, and that's what made it so awesome. All right, let's do the last one. We got
the last
seconds.
One is The Goonies, which it's debatable whether it's a great movie or not, but no matter what, I will always throw down over The Goonies.
Yeah. Well, in The Goonies, it's really poorly done, but it is a movie that a lot of people saw when they're like 10, and it's about kids being 10 years old fighting crime, and that's what makes it cool. So.
Yep. All right. Well, that's it. When we come back, get more stuff.
All right, cool.
And we're wrapping up here on Fat Guys at the Movies.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long show.
It has been a long show. We had an interruption. We won't
we
go
had
in.
An interruption?
Well, we did during the break. It was right at the end of the break.
Oh, it was during the break, right. Okay. Not during the show.
The Fat Guys at the Movie mascot dog went a little crazy.
Yeah, you'll have that. Anyways, as we always do, it is time once again for the DVD roundup. And we'll start with me. Because I like to start with me every day.
Yeah, that's what Bethany says.
She likes to start with me, too.
Zing!
Anyway, what was I going to say?
I don't know, but it was funny. Thing.
My picks of the week, Mutant Chronicles, starring our friend Tom Jane. It's a steampunk version of an alien movie, which I've heard is kind of cool, but, you know.
It apparently makes you yawn.
Yeah, no, just talking about it makes me yawn.
Did you see this
but,
at Comic-Con
Might be worth
year?
A rent. I did not see it at Comic-Con.
Because it was on, he's changed it since then, right?
Oh, I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
Hard to say. And also, Big Trouble in Little China on Blu-ray. I mean,
yes.
Do I really need to explain that one?
It's an awesome movie. John Carpenter at his wacky best.
Right, exactly.
Which, did you know this about Big Trouble in Little China? It's actually a sequel to Buckaroo Banzai, or it was originally planned to be. Did you?
I did not know that.
Yeah, it was originally, it ended up not being, but it was originally set up as a sequel to The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai. This is a weird piece of info.
All right,
let's get on to the good ones by me. My DVD roundup. First of all, I got to point this out. This is a couple weeks old. the DVD, the So You Think You Can Dance series, which is like American Idol for dancers, they came out with fitness videos called So You Think You Can Dance and Get Fit. And in order to review them, what I did is I videotaped myself doing one of the routines. And you can catch that on Fat Guys at the Movies site. It's on YouTube. So we'll put a link on there because it's a fat guy dancing. What's funnier than that?
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to mention that one. Also,
I guess there's some stuff that might be funnier than that.
Like The Soloist, which is out on Blu-ray.
Good pull, Carr.
Yeah, that one's there. It's got some decent special features and featurettes on it. But the ones that I really want to highlight, the Tigger movie. It's Winnie the Pooh's The Tigger movie. It's its 10th anniversary. And I love Winnie the Pooh. So the Tigger movie's out. And then, of course, well, I'm a big sci-fi geek, as you know that. So my two biggest picks of the week, you got Stargate Atlantis Fans' Choice, where they take three episodes, one's a two-parter, from the Stargate Atlantis series and put it on high-def Blu-ray, and they're chosen by the fans. I love Stargate. I love all things Stargate. Can't wait for Stargate Universe to come out, which it should be coming out this fall. But Stargate Atlantis, if you like Stargate Atlantis, you can check this one out in high definition. And then, of course, the big one is The Rock in Race to Witch Mountain. Did you like this movie? Did you see this?
I didn't see it yet. I have it sitting on my desk over there. I got to watch it soon.
It's fun. And the thing is, there's a lot of people who are like, oh, it changed the original. And I'm like, well, you know what? The original doesn't complete. Rob Hunter, in his DVD column on Film School Rejects, pointed out that he's like, yeah, the original Witch Mountain movies don't quite hold up to modern day standards. They're still fun, but you know they're not as awesome as you remember when you were like a little kid. They really updated this, and it's kind of like this 12-year-old's action movie. My kids saw it. They saw it in the theaters. They loved it. We watched it again on Blu-ray. And what's neat about the Blu-ray, and Disney does this with a lot of their big releases, and it's starting to happen. They did this also with the release of like Coraline, and some other films. If you buy the Blu-ray, it comes with digital copy disc, which is okay, I guess. But it also comes with bundled with a DVD of the movie. So if you haven't gotten a Blu-ray player, like if you're going to get a Blu-ray player for Christmas, if you're going to get a whole new Blu-ray setup for Christmas, you can get the Blu-ray and you can still watch the DVD. And then when you get the Blu-ray system, you have it on Blu-ray.
Well, there you go.
Isn't that awesome?
I like that strategy.
Yeah. Because not a whole lot of people can just upgrade completely from standard TV and DVD player and get the high-def television, the stereo system, and the Blu-ray player all at once. People got to wait for tax return checks for that, apparently.
Yeah.
Are you checking email?
Yeah.
Yes, you are.
You were talking about stuff I don't care about.
I'm going to punch you in the face. I'm going to send you a virtual punch in the face.
Start talking about stuff that matters, Kevin Garr.
Like what? Like the Mutant Chronicles? Can we talk about...
Did you talk about the Tigger movie yet?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Have you not even been listening to me? Yes, the Tigger movie. You thought that was interesting. I'm going to punch you. I'm going to email your...
What's our stinker of the week?
Delgo. I mean, it just has to be.
Yeah, no, obviously.
Literally, the stars didn't even care. On CD 101 in Columbus, they interviewed Chris Kattan, and Chris Kattan was like, I didn't even know about this. But he's like, I did it because my kids.
I didn't even know I did it.
Yeah. So, anywho.
Anyway.
Review wrap up.
Time to wrap up our reviews. We'll start with A Perfect Getaway, which I said totally sucks.
And I say it kind of rocks.
Whatever. Julie and Julia, which Kevin saw.
It sucks for me, but it'll rock for my mom.
And G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra, which I saw and said rocks.
And they,
take your kids.
And they wouldn't
take
let
the whole
me
brood.
See. They wouldn't let me see, so I give a preemptive suck.
Nice. Next week, we got Band Slam with the fully clothed Vanessa Hudgens. Mm-hmm. We've got District 9, which I have a feeling is going to be really good.
Did you hear about the photo scandal? They have nude pictures of the aliens online.
Oh, right.
Yeah, apparently the aliens took pictures of themselves in their hotel room. It was
nice. We've got The Goods, Live Hard, Sell Hard, and The Time Traveler's Wife, in which Rachel McAdams, I'm told, does not get naked. So that will be just okay.
Why bother?
In the meantime, if you'd like to get a hold of us, fatguysthemovies.com. You can get us on iTunes, search Fat Guys the Movies. Get us on Twitter. You can get us on all these other things. Just go to fatguysthemovies.com. All the other information is there. For now, I say hasta luego.
And I say bye.